Today on Real Radio.
People go through all kinds of things in life with hopes of salvation. Some people pursue money, hoping, not really putting this together, but it's what they're doing. They don't know it. If I just get fame, I will experience a form of redemption. I can get out of this life of mine.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues in his topical series called You Need to Know, a collection of lessons on the essentials of our faith. We're in a mini-series called You Need to Know All About Your Salvation. There are many misconceptions about what it means and what it takes to obtain salvation, and the only true way to clear up these issues is to consult Scripture. That's precisely what pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs does for us in these lessons called You Need to Know All About Your Salvation.
All about your salvation. It is, as Dr. Ryrie points out, and I agree, the most preeminent doctrine in all of the Bible. I'm going to point some things out to you by way of introduction, and I hope I have your attention regarding this. When we talk about soteriology, or the study of salvation, mark this down in your notes. Number one, it is the centrality of God's mission to mankind. From Genesis to Revelation, it is the purpose behind the very word of God. For example, the men are ending their retreat up on the, well, not yet, but they'll end their retreat soon. They'll be coming down the mountain. They're studying the book of Ruth. And I don't know what, wife, I don't know what kind of man you're going to get coming down the mountain after he studied the book of Ruth. Maybe more in touch with his feminine side, I don't know. But I know this, that the book of Ruth, for example, is all about redemption. We went through on Wednesday night looking at the book of Esther from a prophetic view, and we used Benjamin Netanyahu's speech on Tuesday. Remember, were you here? Did you see the news regarding Purim, the celebration regarding Persia 2,700 years ago, how Persia and the Persian leaders said, we're going to destroy every Jew and the Jewish people. And remember what God did? God used Esther and her uncle Mordecai to expose the plot of Haman, and Haman died by the judgment of God. Now, are you sitting down? Netanyahu mentions that on Tuesday. I was so glad that he got my email that we were reading the book of Esther, because he mentions it to the world on Tuesday, speaking in Congress. And then the next day, we met on Wednesday in our service, and we mentioned Purim, the celebration the Jews do around the world for the death of Haman, who wanted to kill them. And Netanyahu mentioned that the head cleric of Persia today, has been declaring all of his life since 1979, this guy, same as all the others, death to Israel, death to America, death to Satan, death to the great Satan, that's Israel and America, and the Jews are going to be destroyed anytime now, and he's been doing his thing, he's been tweeting it and all this kind of stuff. As we mentioned on Wednesday, don't mess with God's promises. And listen, he warned Persia 2,700 years ago, don't pick on Israel. And they were just about ready, they still are, just about ready to pick on Israel, and their chief guy was saying, go get them! Okay, listen, this is a big deal. Say, what's your point? It's all about God's deliverance. God will deliver Israel. He promises that in the Bible. And listen, God has promised to deliver all those who trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. This is absolutely the wonderful doctrine of redemption. And keep that in mind. A.W. Tozer says this, and listen carefully. By the way, this is written in 1952, what I'm reading to you. If man had his way, the plan of redemption would be an endless and bloody conflict. In reality, salvation was bought not by Jesus' fist, but by his nail-pierced hands. Not by muscle, but by love. Not by vengeance, but by forgiveness. Not by force, but by sacrifice. Jesus Christ, our Lord, surrendered in order that he might win. He destroyed his enemies by dying for them and conquered death by allowing death to conquer him, says A.W. Tozer. Paul puts it this way in Romans 5:8. But God demonstrates his love, his own love toward us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. What an awesome statement. The great Reformation era English preacher, John Wesley, founder of the Wesleyan Church. John Wesley, when he was addressing his future pastors and evangelists for the Methodist Church, exhorted them, saying, "You have one business on earth, to save souls." What a great statement. Ecclesiastes. You see, why is this important? Because Ecclesiastes 3:11, the Old Testament book of Ecclesiastes 3:11 says, God has placed eternity in our hearts. Did you know that? I don't care who you are this morning. I don't care what you believe. The Bible says God has placed eternity in your heart. That means you're concerned about life after death. You say, that's ridiculous. I don't believe in life after death. So you say, but I don't believe you. You may not believe in life after death, but I have great pleasure to tell you, I don't believe you, if that's your belief. Because God says that every human being has a concern inside of them about eternity. Every one of us. Where will you spend eternity? And it's no time right now to be involved in wishful thinking or wondering or hoping that it all turns out good for you. No, the doctrine of salvation, the Bible says of itself, is to be known by that person who is in fact saved. It's also interesting to note, I hope you get pumped over this thing. I like this argument. I got this from Dr. Henry Morris. He said, it's interesting to know that in every known culture in world history that has ever existed, past and current, that the archaeological evidence of man in that culture having a form of religion which offers a means of redemption is native to every culture ever discovered by man. I want you to think about that for a minute. I'm pausing for effect. Let that sink in. You might say, well, I was born under Soviet rule in Moscow, and we were taught not to believe in God. Listen, the reason why you were taught not to believe in God is because that dictator wanted to be God. He couldn't handle the competition. Believe me, someone will always be God. When God's not allowed to be God, man will insert himself as God. Thus, atheism is a religion. But if you take your shovel and you go to the American Indians, or if you go to the South America, if you go to any culture, if you go to China, wherever you dig, you find trinkets, temples, places of worship and adoration of a demigod, god, or gods, without exception. Archaeology declares man is prone to worship, period. And in every culture, there is a mode of or an attempt to gain salvation. Listen, I don't know if you've been to Zion National Park in Utah. If you've never been, you got to go. It's gorgeous. I mean, I think it's about a 7-hour drive, if I remember. It's wonderful. Some of the most unique topography you'll ever see on the planet. But when you go into that canyon and you drive down toward the end of the canyon, as you're going through, I believe it's on the right-hand side, if my memory serves me correct, there is this massive rock that ascends thousands of feet up, much like Half Dome that we have. They have what's called the Great White Throne. Have you been there? It's the Great White. I'm not calling it that. They call it that. The National Park Service calls it that, the Great White Throne. Why? Did you know that the Native Indians of southern Utah would take their child and they would go to that edge, and they would cast their virgin child over that cliff in hopes of appeasing the gods so that they might have some form of forgiveness or redemption. Think of it. It's in the human heart. Why? Because the human heart wants to experience salvation. People go through all kinds of things in life with hopes of salvation. Some people pursue money, hoping, not really putting this together, but it's what they're doing. They don't know it. If I just get fame, I will experience a form of redemption. I can get out of this life of mine. Little do they know, they're actually saying, I've got to get away from this humanity of mine. I'm plagued by my failure. I'm plagued by my sin. I'm plagued by my condition. And when we don't face God head on about that, we'll blame everything or everyone else around us, when the reality is you've got a temple in your heart of worship, and it's some other temple than the Lord Jesus Christ. Could be sex. Sex is a very famous temple. Money. Drugs, whatever it might be. Power. There'll be a temple in your life. There is a temple in your life, guaranteed. But who or what temple does it belong, or to who is enthroned on that temple of that throne there? It's very, very vitally important. And so I want to give you one more quote from a scholar who wrote, "Men's pursuits to find forgiveness, restoration, and salvation has proven to be something so intrinsic and so rooted within any culture that the issue is inescapable, no matter how advanced or how arrested that culture was or is." That is a powerful thing. That's a powerful statement. So church, mark it down. Write it down if you would. Here we go. We'll just break into argument number one, all about your salvation. It's this. How is salvation experienced? Can you write that down? How is salvation experienced? How is it experienced? So look, I want you to look at that for a moment. So how is it experienced? This is how it experienced. You go to Utah and you throw your kid off the... I know you feel like that at times, but throwing your kid off the cliff is not going to bring salvation to you. You say, well, that's silly. Oh, yeah, well, is this so silly? If you just give, the more money you give to this ministry, the more prayer you're going to get. If you just give more money to this work of God, then we'll see to it that you get a special prayer cloth that will, you know what I'm saying? But why do charlatans say that stuff? Because the human psyche is a sucker for that. The human heart goes, is that really? I can obtain favor? I can obtain even salvation by writing you a check? Then I'll write it. Yeah, that doesn't work. Oh my goodness. What if we go through this regime? What if we wear these kinds of clothes? What if we have this kind of thing? Look, I don't mean to offend anybody, but if the paganism fits, then wear it. Do you wear a cross because you think no evil or hurt will befall you if you wear your cross? Well, why don't you get a rabbit's foot instead? It's the same difference, ladies and gentlemen. I remember growing up, I don't even know why I had it, but somebody told me, you need a St. Christopher medallion. You need to wear that. Remember that? So I need that? All right. So there's no relationship here, but Jack Surf Shop is where I got the Christopher. I don't own it. I don't. But I went to Jack's Surf Shop, and I said, hey, I'm Jack, and I want a Christopher. And why did we wear those back? I don't even know if people wear them today, but I was told, it'll protect you in the waves, man. That's awesome. Look out, wave! I've got a... But it's like the cross. Look, watch it. Step back, I have a cross. Ladies and gentlemen, it doesn't work that way. Why don't you wear some garlic instead? People will not get near you. It doesn't work that way. To cling to those things is to embrace. Those are idols. Those are idols. Look, I'm not saying don't wear your cross. Wear your cross. Tell people about it. Hey, Jesus died on a cross. Not this cross, but Jesus died on a cross. And this reminds me, I'm wearing this thing to remind me to tell you, Jesus died for your sins on the cross. Okay, now, that won't work with a rabbit's foot. It only worked with a cross. It's not going to work with a rabbit's foot. But so, watch this. Lisa and I forget when it was, we were coming out of Israel on one of these past years, and we had a layover in Rome. And I had just heard in Israel during that tour that when Constantine came to the Middle East, there was a flight of stairs that it was recorded in Roman history that these are the flight of stairs that Jesus ascended to stand before Pilate. And so Constantine had them taken down stone by stone and shipped to Rome and reassembled. By the way, archaeologically, it's true. But this is where the story goes off. Later on, Catholicism declared that if you go up these steps, you'll get forgiveness of sins. Oh, wait. To get in line, you have to pay this price. I'm not making this up. And so guess what? People got in line. Well, fast forward a millennium and a half later, and Lisa and I show up because I wanted to see them. I wanted to see these. And they're in a huge cathedral there in Rome. Maybe you've been there. And there's a sign. There's a sign and a stanchion behind the sign. And the sign says in Latin, something. It says... And I'm looking at it, and it's like, yikes, what is this? Excuse me, can someone tell me what this is? Oh, yes, that sign says, those who want to have their sins forgiven on the right and those who don't on the left. And listen, the sign on the right, there's like hundreds of people in line. The sign on the left, it says, no, you don't get your sins forgiven. I got on that. There's nobody in the line. I wanted to see the stairs. I said, Lisa, let's go. This is awesome. It's like having your Disney pass, you know, the little thing. And so we're just, all right, hey. And there's people standing there, and they're, it's so sad because they're holding on their cross, and they're kind of weepy. It's very serious. I'm sorry I'm making fun of this, but it was really funny. I'm just, here's the deal. We just bypass everybody, and we get right there to go up the service stairs. You're not allowed on those stairs. If you want to go to the top, you go to the service stairs. They're made out of, I think, steel or something. It doesn't matter. Here's the deal. Here's what they had to do. People came up there, next, and when it's your turn, you got on your knees, and you went up those stairs on your knees. By the way, don't be surprised. Have you ever heard of a guy by the name of Martin Luther, the great reformer? He went up those stairs trying to find God as a Catholic priest. Remember him? And when he got to the top, those are the famous stairs he got to the top of in Rome, and he said, that's what he said. He said, I feel as guilty and as burdened with sin up here as I did down there when I started. See, going through the effort was to absolve you of your sins. Ladies and gentlemen, God doesn't receive that stuff. Do you understand that? Oh, listen, it gets more serious. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews that if you and I go and confess to a priest who he himself is a sinner also, that there's no forgiveness of sins. So why have I been doing this all my life? You were lied to, quite frankly. It's not Bible theology. That's the theology of man, to sell tickets, to get you in line, to give you some form of, look, I'm going to tell you honestly, to give you some form of something to hang on to, that you can hold it and say, I did it. It's mine. And I achieved this. And mankind is a sucker. We're all suckers for this. Thinking you're walking away with salvation. Listen, to prevent from getting sick, you get an inoculation against something. You get just enough of it to keep you from getting it. Satan knows if he injects enough religion into you, just enough, you'll never get to the truth. Because the truth will not get to you. Because you've been convinced that you got a little patch or a little shot or a little thumbs up, and you don't need what God has done at the cross for you. You don't need God's salvation because you have your own. And this is critical. And this is very serious. How is salvation experienced? Number one, it's gifted by grace alone. How's it experienced? By grace. Write that down. Don't miss it. By grace. When we talk about the word grace, we're talking about a very, very unique word. We're talking about the word that means God's gifting. Listen, everybody, God's gifting. The word gift or gifted that we'll read about in this particular argument is the salvation that demands a transcendence. It's a gift from transcendence. Look, if you and I give each other gifts, we are giving each other gifts on a horizontal plane, right? Think about it. If I gave you a gift, it came from me horizontally to you. You could turn right around and give me a gift back. There's a certain word for that gifting. Guess what? God did not use that word. He could have, he didn't. He uses the word of a transcendent gifting. It means that God's gift comes from above. It comes down from above. It comes down to us. God says, I give you my gifts, which come from me. Now, this is dead serious. I can't do anything to earn, get God's attention, achieve, stimulate him at all, somehow awaken him to gift me with salvation. It's impossible. It is sovereignly distributed by God alone. And it's by God's doing, God's grace. You say, well, wait a minute. I've heard you before say some people go to heaven, some people go to hell. Does that mean that God just flat out sends people and one way or the other? Well, you'll have to come back in about 3 weeks. Well, we're going to answer that. But salvation comes from God, and his grace is distributed from him. I can't give it to you. Billy Graham cannot give it to you. Your husband cannot give it to you. Your wife, friend, nobody can give it to you. It's God-given. It comes from above. In fact, listen, this is kind of a cool example. It's unique, but it's cool. I think it serves the purpose, at least for me. Turn or mark in your Bibles Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, verse 25, I'll set it up while you're turning there. Jesus now is 8 days old. According to law, Joseph and Mary have to bring Jesus to the temple. He's going to be circumcised on the 8th day. Every Orthodox Jew is circumcised on the 8th day. Jesus is taken to the temple, but there's an old man that's been there, and God has spoken to this old man according to the Bible. His name's Simeon, and God tells him, you will not die until you see my salvation. Can you imagine? That's what God told this old man. You're not going to die until you see my salvation. And this man's old. And how sweet is this? By the way, this is a great word about worship. Did this guy know that this was the day that Jesus would come to the temple? I don't know. I don't think so. But I just think it's awesome that he's there waiting. What are you going to do in your retirement? Well, this guy was retired. I mean, this guy's ancient. And where is he? He is at the temple. He's involved.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio. In a lesson called You Need to Know All About Your Salvation. It's really a mini-series taken from Pastor Jack's collection of studies that take a look at the essentials of our faith. We'll continue with more of You Need to Know All About Your Salvation on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, we just wrapped up another mini-series that dovetails perfectly into this topic. It's called You Need to Know All About Being Born Again. It's so important that many Real Radio listeners are taking advantage of our special offer. For your gift of any amount to this broadcast outreach known as Real Radio, we'll send it right out to you. I'll say that again. We'll send you this series, You Need to Know All About Being Born Again by Pastor Jack, in a multi-DVD set for your gift of any amount to Real Radio. Now, whether you call, click, or write, be sure to mention it by name. You Need to Know All About Being Born Again, or simply, All About Being Born Again. We'll know exactly what you mean. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. You could also call us if you'd like, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Or if you'd like, write to us and ask for the DVD set by name, All About Being Born Again. Just send your gift and request to our mailing address, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Of course, all of our contact info can be always found right there at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.